Welcome to the Arty Bench podcast. I'm your host Alessi, and this podcast is brought to you by Tape Music and Film, and is about anything and everything arty. We talk about a range of arty subjects and topics, from crochet to animation to sketching, with some really creative people. For our first episode, we have an amazing guest, Anya, from the YouTube channel Ophelia Talks. She's a crochet artist with a bright and colourful personality. Her work ranges from crocheted blankets, ponchos, and shawls. Hope you enjoy. Well, hello, first of all.
Hello, Alessi.
I'm actually very excited to see you, even if it is just on screen.
I am as well. It's wonderful that in this day and age we can do this, you know, no travel, well, for me at least. So yes. It's wonderful to have this interaction without, you know, but yes, we're on a screen, but does it matter? We can see each other and we can talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Would you mind introducing yourself so everyone who's watching knows who you are?
Okay, so my name is Anya. And I have a YouTube channel which is called Ophelia Talks. Now, the reason why it's called Ophelia Talks is because she can talk. Anya can talk. And she likes to talk about crochet. And so that's what it's all about. I have my YouTube channel with crochet tutorials. And as you can see in the background, I have lots of projects. We've done lots of tutorials already. And so, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Very interesting and very cool.
Thank you.
Shall I start the questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the first question is, when did you start crocheting and how did you get interested in it?
Ah, well, it was not a case of choosing to learn to crochet.
Ooh.
We had to learn to crochet in primary school.
Wow.
I am still in touch with a friend from primary school. This is a girl who's also called Anya. So my best friend has the same name as me.
Wow.
And we both went, obviously, we went to the same primary school. We were in the same classrooms and we had to learn to crochet. You know, we still talk about it now. How, you know, what do you think our first program, our first project was? Can you remember? And then I ask her and then she says, and so I think we were about 8, maybe 7 years old, 8, 9 years old. And we had to learn to crochet on a Friday afternoon. Oh my goodness. And I absolutely hated it. I hated it with a vengeance. It was the worst thing. Every afternoon, there was that crochet again. And I just, oh, I hated it so much. But of course, you know, it's in school, so you have to do it. I got through it. I managed to, you know, sometimes on a Friday afternoon, we were sent home with homework. I managed to do it there and then because I thought otherwise it will ruin my weekend. I absolutely hated crochet. And, you know, sort of you do that, you do it because, yeah, it's school, you have to do it. And then this was in primary school, then in secondary school, that sort of stopped. So no more crochet. I was really happy. But my friend, Anya, she just kept on crocheting. She's crocheted all through her life. She's made things and, you know, and I was always, nope, I'm not interested. But then a couple of years ago, so with 30 years in between, 30 years that I actually did not pick up a hook or a ball of yarn to crochet, I met up with a friend who I'd recently met here while I was living in Devon. And she said, guess what I did last night? And I was like, oh yeah, you baked a cake. No, she said, I went and learned to crochet. And I was like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
I can crochet. I don't like crochet, but I can do it.
I can do this.
Yes. And on my way home, because this was in a sort of a neighboring village, I was driving, and on my way home, I thought, do I still have my hook? Do I have yarn? No, I don't have yarn. Or can I go to the yarn shop Oh my goodness. I went to the yarn shop, bought a ball of yarn, found my hook, and that was it. The rest is history. I was hooked completely. And I haven't stopped crocheting since, and that's about 5 years ago.
Wow.
So that was a whole story. But, you know, something that I had to learn that I didn't like, look where it got me now.
Yeah, you turned it into a great big passion.
Yeah. So it's a life skill. Even if you don't like it, it's a life skill that can, you know, bring you all kinds of things in the end.
Question number two. How do you come up with new patterns and designs?
That's a very good question. And it's really one that I don't even have the answer to myself. Very often I look for inspiration in other places than crochet. So I like to try things, see if they work, for instance. My bin is always overflowing with things that get binned. You know, you try again. I often find inspiration in nature, in things that are, like I said, not crochet related. And then you think, hang on a minute, I can crochet that. Yeah, it's amazing. Sometimes it's because you see, by accident, you see a couple of balls of yarn laying next to each other and you like those colors next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you think, oh, I really would like a shawl. What could I do? And then a couple of days later, you think, hang on a minute. There's that yarn. There's that particular, let's try it. You know, trial and error, obviously, is a big thing that you do when you're designing. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I mean, inspiration is just something that I try not to force it either. I find with, you know, maybe you all also know with artistic things and things that sort of, you know, it happens. A couple of days ago, I thought, hang on a minute. I haven't got anything on the go, it seems. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But I also like to have my own project.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, what am I going to do, you know? And you think, okay, well, a couple of years ago, in the beginning when I had my channel, I would really panic. I would like, oh, I've got to have something. What can I make? Because I need a video, I need this. But now I'm much more like, calm down. Let's just see what happens and let's continue working with what we've got at the moment. There's no rush for a new project. And the next day I woke up and I had three projects in my head. So, you know, you sort of find inspiration, you find ideas, but I don't try to push it. I try to just be relaxed about it and let the designs or let the ideas bubble up themselves, basically.
That's really cool, actually, how you don't like force your ideas, because sometimes I have the habit of like trying to force an idea to like come out, but it doesn't always work, and then you get a bit frustrated.
Yeah, that's what I was like, you know, sort of in the beginning of my channel. But something always came up and always something was there, another project. So in the end, I thought, don't worry if you have not got a new idea or a new project for a week or even a couple of weeks. Just work on the ones that you've got, make those really good, and then just see what bubbles up. And if there is a problem, there are certain things that you can always fall back on, you know, like just make another granny square or make, you know, I could possibly find something, but it's better to be more relaxed about it. And that's when you get the best ideas.
Ooh, I'll definitely have to take that advice. What's your favorite crochet project you've ever crocheted?
So hard to answer that. It really
If you
is.
Had to pick three.
Okay, so three would be better.
Yeah.
Definitely the Lizzie.
Mm.
Do you know the Lizzie Cal? That blanket.
Yeah.
I really like that because that's the one where I was almost like the first time where I was able to do the linking that I do, the linking to something that I really love. I love that film Pride and Prejudice. I love Jane Austen's books. I love the film Keira Knightley. You know, I love that whole film. And I was able to go to one of the locations where they filmed the film and do that. I love dressing up in period dresses, as you've seen in some of my other videos as well. So that's why I like that, because I was able to do all those things, go and film there, dress up, you know, make it so much more than just a tutorial on a desk with a hook. And, you know, I was able to, you know, take it outside, show it off in lovely gardens and things like that. So I tried to make a lot more out of just a plain old tutorial.
I really like how you do your tutorials, because there's like lots of different ways people can do them. Like, there's just like sit down at desk, get this done. But I really like how you do them, because it's really inspiring.
I mean, I realize there has to be the tutorial, right?
Yeah.
So you have got to have a piece in your video where actually, yes, this is where we're sitting down and this is where I'm teaching you and I'm showing you exactly how to do it so you can reproduce it. But then instead of just, you know, sort of going like this, oh, this is the blanket, you know, this is the, no, go out, walk around with it, show it off, have some fun and show people watching my tutorial something of my environment here, my countryside, my town, my the sea, you know, we're really close to the sea. So it's really nice to show them these kinds of things, because I have lots of followers from the US, and for reasons, you know, all kinds of reasons, they will never be able to go where I'm going. I can't show them Dartmoor, I can't show them Exmouth, but I can in my videos. I could show them little snippets. And that makes it so much nicer than just to say, oh, look, there it is on my sofa, you know? So it's just being different from other YouTube channels, other crochet YouTube channels, stand out from other channels, you know, sort of you have to, yeah, like you say, I have my own style and I like to, you know, I do a good part teaching, but then I also like to have the little bit of what I call the embellishment. So anyway, two more things I have to say. And in the back of my head, I've been thinking, but I don't know. So the Lizzie is one of my favorite. Oh, what else? What else? There's so many things. Actually, one of my favorites is this one as well. Do you recognize this one?
Yeah.
The Cairo poncho. Mm-hmm. I only made it recently, but I like having a poncho for summer. As you can see, I wear this all the time these last few weeks. I like having a poncho. I love wearing ponchos. So yes, this one will be a really nice one for summer. I couldn't think of that then. It's raining outside, so you can't really think of summer.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, the third one, maybe it could be the Netflix blanket, because it's quite different, I think, from anything else that we've done. Mm-hmm. And it's based on something that everybody sees, but nobody notices it.
Yeah.
You know, when you have Netflix, you start the play button and you're like, oh, okay, let's get ourselves comfortable.
And oh, yeah. Like the intro thing. The
intro, yeah.
Yeah.
So before you know it, it's gone.
Yeah.
But it's there. But it's there. And I started noticing it and I thought, oh, that's a lot. That would make a lovely blanket. So yes, I think the Netflix.
It's really cool how you get inspiration from lots of different areas, even that.
There we go. That's exactly the way, you know, like before when you asked about the inspiration, it can be from anything, really. You know, like the Pride and Prejudice, I got the inspiration from the actual film, but not even the film. It was the colours that they used in the film. And for so many years, I had been watching that same film over and over again. And for me, I wasn't watching the film anymore. I was just having it on in the background, listening to it. But then at one point, you sort of, you're not looking at it, but you see the overall colours of what's on your screen. And that's what I based my colours on for the blanket.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So one tries to be different.
I think you pull it off very well.
Thank you. Okay, I think I'm ready for the next question.
Okay. What are some common mistakes that beginners make when learning to crochet, and how would you combat this?
Well, the thing is, it's a game of certain hook and a certain thickness of yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to combine these two together with your personal tension. And personal tension is, again, is different for everyone. And it's getting to know your personal tension and getting to know what your stitch is going to look like after you've done it, because my stitch will look completely different from your stitch.
Mm-hmm.
And people, when they begin, they think that their version of what you're making is going to be identical. Identical yeah. in size, identical in what it looks like, identical in, you know. See, I'm looking at this poncho. Can you see the little lines going?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that sort of?
Yeah.
You might have a slightly different effect in that because of the way you created your stitches. And a lot of people think, oh, it's going to be exactly the same size and it's going to fit me. But again, we have all different sizes. We are all different sizes. So it's not, you know, you have to, and you have the possibility in crochet, you have to adjust it, amend it to your own personal way of making your stitches, but also to your own, if it's a wearable, to your own, you know, sort of how you wear things. So yes, it's a lot of, that tension is a very strange thing. But you've got to get used to the fact that, how should I say that, your crochet thing that you make is your personal thing, and it's going to be different from others, but it will be the same as well. It's mm-hmm. difficult to explain, and very often beginners think that they're going to have exactly the same object or the same size object, which isn't, because it all depends on tension as well. And a lot of mistakes as well that are made is the wrong hook with the wrong yarn for the project, not buying enough yarn, having to go and get more yarn, and then having to use a different color bath or color, you know, shade, so that it's not the same coloring. Oh, there's so many mistakes, really, or cutting it off too short, or not sewing it in properly, or all kinds of things. But if you like doing it, and if you know, there's, in every tutorial I put tips and tricks, and I try to avoid all these kinds of things, you know, sort of that you don't have those problems. So another mistake that a beginner it can easily make is being too enthusiastic.
Really?
And that's, yes, I find that everybody is, you know, they want to make it, they're so enthusiastic, but they forget to look at the details. They forget to count their stitches. They forget that by watching the video really well, attentively, there are tips and tricks in there that I tell them, but they haven't heard because they're so enthusiastic, they want to get started.
Yeah.
So, you know, just in the beginning, just taking your time to get started is a big thing, and then get enthusiastic, but just, you know, do your start and learn the stitch calmly, and then you can get enthusiastic about the project.
Yeah, I know when I was a beginner, I used to get very excited, and I actually had to tell myself to slow down.
Yeah. So, and also in your excitedness, you skip a stitch that you shouldn't have skipped, or you're just too quick. And also in the beginning, it can be very confusing. You know, there's only like 5 stitches, but they all have similar names: single crochet, double crochet, half double crochet, treble crochet. And you get confused which is which, and you just start and you think, oh, hang on, I'm halfway there. Was this the right stitch?
Yeah.
No, and it's just being too enthusiastic. Oh, I've got 5 minutes. Let's do some crochet. And you just pick up a hook and you don't check it. And you're using the wrong hook. You know, it's just being, too enthusiastic. I would say that's a big one.
Yeah. I have a bit of a personal question, actually.
Okay.
How do you motivate yourself to, like, do projects that maybe you don't really want to do? Like, say you've got an order for someone and it's like a friend and they want you to make a baby blanket, for example. How would you motivate yourself to do that?
Well, I don't. I simply do not do orders. I only make what I want to make. And while I'm making it, if I decide I'm going to give it away, then I will. But if I don't want to give it away, then I don't. I find it very, very hard to make anything in crochet. If somebody says, oh, can you make me this? And I'm like, oh, no, no, I can't. I was like this when the YouTube challenges started, and I've always made the videos and the projects of things that I wanted to make. If anybody said, oh, could you do a video on this? Then I'm like, okay, I'll write it down.
Yeah.
But unless I actually started thinking about it and building in my head the project and the pattern for that thing, I would not do it. I, of course, now it's really busy for the channel, and I'm making videos and I'm making bigger and bigger projects and things like that. So if anybody would say, oh, can you make me a poncho? I would just politely have to decline. I would say, no, sorry, I don't do orders, because A, I simply have not got the time to make an extra thing on top of the two video projects that I have to do each week already. So my daughter, sometimes she sends me these little TikTok videos saying, oh, mother, can you make me this? And of course, it's a 60-second video of somebody making a top, you know, and it's like this, you know, a picture of the yarn, a picture of the hook, a picture of the front, the back, and it's finished, right? And I'm like, yes, darling, next year. I don't make it. But what I have started doing now is she wants a top, so I'll make her a top, but it will be, you know, the stitch I want, it'll be the color, she can choose the color, you know, so it's a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I want to make, that I will make my size, just because she's a little bit, you know, she's younger than me, she's smaller than me. Yeah. So I will show it off. I'll do a video on it. I'll do a lookbook on it. And then after it's been published, after I've shown people on the live and everything, I'll give it to her. And that's it. I can't, you know, I cannot be making something that I can't do a video on, basically.
How did you overcome that?
I am in a position where people also realize they can't just, you know, ask me to make something, because I just haven't got the time for it. There is a lot of time also that goes to filming and editing, you know, that's what needs to happen as well when you have a YouTube channel.
So next question is, can you walk us through your creative process from ideas to finished project?
So hang on, let me use an example. I have something here that you will like, I'm sure, which hasn't been published yet. It's coming out in a few weeks.
Oh, we're getting a sneak peek.
Sneak peek. Look at this.
Oh, wow. That is really cool.
Do you know what this is?
It's a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. So one day I was going through, where was I? Going through Instagram, Pinterest, and there was a Rubik's Cube, you know, the actual thing, because there was something going on about it. And I thought, oh, could I crochet one? Okay. And then you start thinking, how am I going to do the mini colors? Oh, what colors am I going to do? Right. So then we go and find the colors. So you go onto Google, you find a picture of a Rubik's Cube, you get it up, and you go into your stash, you try and find the colors with the pegs. So I had the colors, and then I thought, okay, so how am I going to make the little squares?
Mm-hmm.
So then you try to make a square. The first one I think came out too round, the second one was too big, the third, you know, so you're trying and binning, because you want to, you know, try and get a nice square.
Yeah.
And you start writing it down because you need to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Then you think, oh, no, now I have to make 9 squares for 6 colours. So 9 times 6. And then you start counting and then you think, oh, my goodness, no, what have I done to myself? You know. So then on an evening, so I film during the weekend. Mm-hmm. So in the evenings in the week, I do my preparation. So during the evenings in the week, I started making my little squares.
Yeah.
So what I make, you know, so 9 per color. So the next color, then the next, then I think it took me quite a few evenings because then, of course, you have to sew in the ends.
Those pesky ends.
Yes, those pesky. I thought, can I just leave them in? Because I do. Can I just leave them in and pretend they're not there? But then people do see that in the video and it's not so nice to be working with all those ends sticking out. You know, it just doesn't show professionalism, you know.
Mm.
So you do everything for the video, you know. Then you start thinking, okay, so now that I've made those, I'm going to have to make one less because that's the one I'm going to make in the video. Can I start doing? No, I can't start making the little panels because I have to show them first. So I also have to crochet in function of what I can film. So I made all the little ones. Then on the Saturday, I started filming. Oh no, I think on a Thursday, I've quickly filmed all the loose ones.
Yeah.
On my desk, I just put my lights on, quickly film that, and I think, okay, that's 2 minutes, but I can voice that over, and then I can now already in the evening start doing my panels.
Yeah. So
I did the panels of the 9.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to do that? How am I going to explain that? So all the time while I'm doing my preparation in my crochet in the week evenings, I'm also thinking, how am I going to tell them? What should I tell them? Is there a tip? Maybe this is easier to do. So I'm in my head, I'm almost rehearsing what I'm going to say when I'm filming on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm. The mind starts ticking that way, as you can tell the viewer.
What? Yeah. So I can have those extra bits that I put in a video to make the video, you know, sort of better for them or to make the project easier for them. So they don't have to bin anything during the binning, you know. I'm making all the mistakes that they then can avoid making. And then I started putting them together. So then by the Saturday, I think I had all of them done apart from one. So then I could do that on camera because that's what, you know, there is a certain amount that you have to show. Then how am I going to show, you know, so, and then we do this and then, you know, you sort of explain it all in the video. You try to do the whole thing. And then the bit that the videos always start with, the hi everyone, it's Anya here and I'm back with another video for a that actually is filmed right at the end.
Yeah. Because
in the beginning, I do not have this.
True.
Unless I'm making it twice and I don't have time to make this twice.
No, I can imagine it took a lot of work.
So those little ones, that took the work, of course. Once I was putting them together, that was fine. And then you ended up with 6 little panels and then putting those together was easy because, you know, you sort of know how to put a cubist together from your maths lessons, I'm assuming. and then also, oh, how am I going to keep it quite sturdy and straight, and what am I going to fill? Oh, and then of course I had to open, you know, find my stuffing.
Yeah.
And by the time I finish filming, the whole thing is, it's a bomb site here, right? But then of course, by the time you think, okay, have I filmed everything? Because do they know this? Do they know how to do that? So before I sort of clear up and turn the lights off, I always try to think, okay, what else can I film? So I do take some stills as well, some pictures. Sometimes I forget that. Sometimes I hold it in my hands because that's sort of for a thumbnail, you know, that's more approachable almost. And then I'm like, okay, do I have everything? Is that it? And then I think, okay, I think I've got everything. And then, so I film on my iPhone, then all the bits, because of course you film in short bits. So I film one row and then I turn it off and then I finish the row and then I show them and then I film again. So, you know, you sort of, it's all the, I try to film as, how should I say it? I don't just put it on and start filming because that means my film, my footage would be far too long. I try to just film the bits that I need. If I say something wrong, I delete it straight away and I redo it. So that all I have to work with is what I'm actually going to be publishing, or a minimum. So then it all goes into my computer and then I start the editing process with, I use Final Cut Pro. And then I put, of course, the logo goes on there, the intro, the outro. I check to see that the voice is loud enough. If I've said something wrong, which I very often do, you know, and now you do a single crochet, but she does a double crochet, you know?
Yeah.
I edit that out or I voice that over. I put some music to it. If it's a shawl or if it's a blanket, I'll go to the park or somewhere to do some filming. And then that comes into Final Cut Pro and I put that in as well. So yes, then it's the editing, which takes a long time as well. And then you watch it again to make sure that you've conveyed the whole pattern. And then my question is, with this information in this video, can they make it? You know, will they be able to make it successfully with all the information that I've given them? What did I forget? Oh, how big is it? Oh, darn, I've got to put that in. So I go back, I find some footage somewhere, and the blanket is this and this big, you know, I voice it over. Something like that. So there's always something that I forget. Then you watch it again. Oh no, now the logo is there wrong. Oh no. So then you watch it again.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of watching and re-watching.
Yeah, there certainly is. There certainly is. Oh, and the worst thing is, of course, if I've gone off camera, you know, you sort of you're crocheting there and all of a sudden you're sort of going, and I'm like, why did I do that? Come up again. But of course it's too late, so you try to find a solution for that, you know. But yeah, and then once I'm like, yeah, that's it, there's nothing more I can do, I save the video, and then of course you have to upload it to YouTube. That's exciting. Yes, so then the computer uploads it to YouTube, and then of course there's thinking of a title, there's all the links, there's all the information underneath that, there's the link to the blog post, link to any yarn, there's all kinds of things that have to happen there as well. So and then once it's on YouTube, you can program it to come live. So I have about 3 or 4 weeks of videos in advance ready to go. So now I'm working on videos for, you know, the last week of April.
Yeah.
And that's also for my peace of mind, because if it gets too close, then I'm not a happy crocheter, you know, then I get very sort of, you know, worried that I might not have a video, you know. So once that's all programmed, then that's it. And then of course it's waiting for the video to come out and seeing what the reactions are and seeing what the comments are in the you know, in the comments below, and seeing how many views it gets and seeing how popular it is. So
yeah,
I think that's just about it.
While we're on the topic of YouTube, what do you enjoy most about running a YouTube channel focused on crochet?
The community that's happened with the group. With the YouTube channel. So I can be here on my own, right? I'm here on my own. I've got my camera and I'm talking, telling you how to do this crochet project. And I'm on my own here. There's nobody else here, but I'm talking to everybody out there who loves crochet.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to so many people who, you know, who want to make this, who want to make my projects, who like my projects. And that's what keeps me going as well, the community. So we have a Facebook group as well. And in there, everybody is so lovely and they help each other with the projects that, of mine that they make. But it's the friendship that you get almost, it's almost unbelievable, but it's a worldwide friendship. There's people from all kinds of countries who follow me, and doing the Sunday lives, when they say hello, you know, hi from Mexico, hi from Hawaii, hi from Japan, hi from Egypt, hi from all kinds of countries. And I'm here sitting on my desk on my own, but there's all these people. It's just amazing. Just amazing how technology has enabled this. And that's what I like the best about this, you know, the friendships that you build in this way.
Yeah, it's nice how technology can actually connect loads of people together without actually being in person.
Exactly what we're doing, isn't it?
Yeah. What future plans or projects do you have for your YouTube channel and crochet work?
Let's put it this way. I'm already thinking about the CAL for 2024 in the autumn.
Wow.
You've got to have some ideas and some themes that it didn't used to be like this, obviously. You know, it was more of a couple, you know, I always work in advance and I always had ideas, but somehow you sort of, now we need that time to make sure that whatever we bring out is a good pattern, it works, it looks lovely, you know, so it's not just quick, put something together anymore. We need the time to really think about it, rethink it, redo it if need be. So I have a very exciting, different type of crochet along coming out in the autumn, which nobody knows about yet.
Ooh.
And it's also based on one of my grandma's ideas. So again, you know, I sort of find inspiration in things that she used to do, which I think is lovely that I can do that. And then because we love the Lizzie so much, I want to do a Lizzie type blanket again next spring. And then because I've had this idea for a long, long time of another blanket, a different, not in lines this time, and that will be in the autumn next year. So yeah, it's in ideas at the moment, but at one point there will have to be some action on those to see if they will work, and then we can go forward. But if it doesn't work, there is time to do something else. So that's how my thinking is.
Yeah, well, it'll be very nice hearing and seeing some of those projects on your YouTube if they do go through.
Yeah.
Thank you for chatting with me.
That's okay.
And that was the last question.
Oh, wow. Okay. Great. Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed being able to, you know, tell everybody a little bit more about, you know, designing sort of processes and how to go about things. And I thought your questions were really interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was lovely having you here.
That's okay. It was a pleasure to be featured on your podcast.
Yes, the first ever one as well.
Yes. Oh my goodness. In so many years, you're going to think back and you think, who was that first guest I had?
I hope you have enjoyed listening to this podcast. Massive thanks to Anya for talking with us. Please visit her website opheliatalkscrochet.com, as well as her YouTube and other social media channels, which are included in the show notes. Also, a huge thanks to Steve Swindon for co-hosting. The podcast was edited by Craig Dallas and produced by Tape Community Music and Film.